You're listening to the Burn Youth Podcast. We hope this message encourages and challenges you to live for Jesus. Let's get into it.
So tonight we're talking about a question that I think most people in this room would have asked at some point, and that is, how do I know what my calling is, or how do I know what my purpose is? Particularly maybe some of you 9 to 12s here, you know, as you're preparing to leave school, or when your great Aunt May is calling you up, or you run into her at a funeral or a wedding and she's like, oh, sorry, what are you doing with yourself? You know, like, not her funeral.
She started asking you that at her funeral.
Your other auntie's funeral, I don't know. No, but it's a question that you get asked a lot at this time of your life, and it's a question that you may not know the answer to for yourself. And so we just want to talk about that tonight.
Yeah, definitely. It's such an important topic. We, you know, if you were checking the Burn Youth Instagram earlier this week, just a hot plug for the Burn Youth Insta, we did a few polls on the Instagram story around this topic. I just want to go through some of the questions we asked, because some of the stats will surprise you. So the first question was, do you know what your calling is? 48% of you said no. Okay, so about half of you don't know what your calling is. Are you afraid of the future? 60% of you said yes. Do you know what you're doing after you finish school? Same thing, 55% no. Do you know what skills and gifts you had? This is a good one. 67% said yes. So while you might not necessarily know what you're doing after school, a fair bit of you know at least what gifts you have. This is a big one. Are you afraid you'll miss out in life? 75% said yes. Do you have a dream for your life? 86% said yes. So a lot of you have some sort of dream for your life, but most of you who have a dream for your life are afraid that you won't achieve it. Are you confident that God has a plan for your life? This is a good one. 80% said yes. Good on you guys. You've been reading your Bible. You've been coming to youth. Good on you. But there's still 20% of you that aren't confident that he loves you and that he's got a plan for you. So we want to speak to you tonight, that 20%. Do you feel like God speaks to others but not to you? 75% said yes. Yeah, so only a quarter of you feel like God speaks to you. And most of us feel like God doesn't talk to us and that we're not special. Do you want to know God's calling for your life? 89% said yes. So that 11%, I'm praying for you, because God does have a calling on your life and you should want to know what that is. Amen. So a lot of us, we have some sort of idea about the skills that we have and the gifts that we have, but some of us are really afraid about the future. You know, we know, you know, maybe I'm good at soccer or I'm good at maths. You know the skills that you're good at, but you're afraid about how you're going to use them in the future. Or you're worried that maybe you won't live up to God's plan for your life, or you'll never find out what God's calling for your life is. We want to encourage you tonight to not be afraid of missing out, to not be afraid of missing out on God's calling, and to remind you that God does actually have a calling for you. He, you know, he has some standard callings for all of us. Can we just bring Jeremy, can we just bring my mic down a little bit on the stage and the fallbacks? It's just ringing a little bit. Thanks, buddy. Put your hands together for Jeremy McKenzie on sound. He's killing it tonight. So what I was saying was, you know, as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, we all have a standard calling. There's some things that all Christians are called to. Doesn't matter if you're happy, sad, grouchy, glad. Doesn't matter if you're 25 billion years old like me, or if you're 12 years old. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a Christian, we're all called to these things. This is a list. If you're taking notes, this is a list of things that all Christians are called to. We're all called to become like Jesus. We're all called to share our faith. We're all called to be an example of Jesus to others. We're all called to treat each other with love. We're all called to be selfless and sacrificial. We're all called to serve at church. We're all called to forgive others. And we're all called to use the gifts that God has given us. So those are things that, doesn't matter who you are, every single Christian has been given that calling. But those are standard callings. Those are standard things that God's asked to do.
Mm.
But there's also individual, specific things that God has called you to do.
Mm.
Not the person next to you, not your brother, your sister, not your mom or your dad. If you're a Christian today, there is a specific calling that God wants you to follow. There's a specific purpose that He has just for you, not for anyone else, for your life. God wants to use these unique gifts and dreams that He's placed inside of you. He wants them to come out of you. He wants you to grab them and know that, God, you've put these things in my life and I can use them to glorify you. When I was a little kid, I'm talking like kindy, year one. Actually, it was up to about, this is embarrassing, it was up to about year three. So what, 9 years of age or 8 years of age? I couldn't read an analog clock. Don't make fun of me because I was bullied. No, I wasn't bullied. You couldn't either, Sophie. Wow, okay. So you struggle. Does anyone else struggle reading an analog clock? Okay.
So
I'm not alone. Okay, well, I was really embarrassed by this because for what felt like ages, I couldn't read an analog clock. And all my friends in class were like, it felt like they were way better at maths than me. Just anything numbers related, I just didn't understand. But if you asked me to get up on a stage in front of people and crack a funny joke or tell a story or to sing a song or to do a silly dance, I was all over that. And, you know, most kids hate getting up on stage in front of other people, but I loved making people laugh and being silly and making a fool of myself, but I hated doing maths. I hated telling the time. I say that to say this, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Don't judge yourself against a standard that wasn't built for you. Don't judge yourself against a standard that wasn't built for you. You know, there are many tests we take through school. Some tests are for maths, some are for English, some are for PE. And you know what? I want to encourage you to try and do your best in all of them. Be diligent in what God's given you. But know this, you were not created to be the best in every single sphere of life. You were not created to be the top mathematician in your class and the top at English in your class and the top at art in your class. All you were created to be is you. All you were created to be is you. So don't judge yourself by a standard that wasn't made for you.
Mm.
Judge yourself by the ability that you have to be who God has asked you to be.
Mm.
Learn to love who God made you to be. Mm. If my love for myself was based on my ability to read a clock, then I would be the saddest human being on this planet. But thank God that God has not called me to read analog clocks. Learn to love who God has made you to be, young person. Hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. Forget about the clock. Love who God has made you to be. Don't waste your time trying to be someone else. Be who God has called you to be. Psalm 139 says this, "For you created me in my inmost being. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece." You are God's masterpiece. He created you with so much love and attention to detail. We are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that He's planned for us long ago. He's planned something for you to do and He's made you to do it. And so while you're waiting to find out what your specific calling is, because let's be honest, like half of us here are like 14 years age, like we don't know what we're doing, right? So while you're waiting to find out what your specific calling is, you can fulfill the standard calling that God has asked all Christians. Just be faithful with what you have. You might not know what your career is going to be, and that's okay. You're still a kid. It's okay. You know, even if you're in year 12, it's okay to not know what you're doing next year. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just be faithful with what God has given you right now. And you know what? He's called you to love people. He's called you to be like Jesus. He's called you to serve the church, and He's called you to forgive others. That's it. Become like Jesus, build the church, be faithful with what he's given you now. And as you keep doing that, then he'll show you what your specific calling is. Then he'll show you a glimpse of what you're meant to do in the future. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's good. Yeah, I once read something that said, everybody is intelligent, but if you judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree, then it'll live its life believing it's stupid. You know, this is kind of what we're talking about. You are unique. You're made for a purpose, a specific purpose. We are all created naturally supernatural, I like to call it. You know, we were created by a creative God who knit us together, who knows you inside out, who knows every part of you. And I think often we, in what we know or what we assume about God, we wait for a really big grand gesture for us to know what we're supposed to do with our life. You know, we wait for that moment. We wait for that prayer. We wait for that prophecy. We wait for that youth camp. We wait for that moment where out of the blue, we just know what we're supposed to do. And that is not always the case, right? God has all power and authority and all creativity, but that also means that when he created you, he already put some of the things inside of you that are the package of your purpose, right? It's not always a big moment. Sometimes it is. And so for some of you, it will be a moment or something spoken. But for a lot of you, it will be a road of discovery where you find something within yourself that God already put there for a purpose, right? Already put there. Like, speaking of the supernatural, you know, like the story of Moses in the Old Testament, and he comes to the Red Sea and he's trying to help people escape. This is a very short version of the story, but and they come to the sea and the sea is closed and there's people behind them and they think that they're all going to die. And Moses is like, God, help us. I need a grand gesture. I need something supernatural. I need to see a way through. I need to know where I'm going. And God says to Moses, like, what's in your hand? What have you got right here? And I think that that's kind of the same with us knowing where we're going in our life, is sometimes God is just saying, what have you already got? Because I have given you that thing. I have created you with that ability. I have put that passion in your heart. I have given you what you need now to get started. You know, to get started. It's not about knowing where you're going to be in 50 years. It's about knowing where to get started. One way that I like to think of it is I like to think of God's plan as a scavenger hunt rather than thinking of it like a map. Right? Have you had that thought that like you have this final destination where you need to get to be following God's calling for your life or to be following his plan? But more times than not, God reveals a little bit at a time. He'll give you the next step and then the next step and then the next step. And along the way, sometime you'll be like, hey, I know that right now I'm doing what he has asked me to do. I know that I am on the right path. I know that I'm going where he has planned for me to go. You know, like I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life when I finished year 12. And I just felt not to rush into something, but to still be active and to still be a good steward and doing stuff. So I went out and I worked full time for a year while I thought about what I wanted to do. Right. And during that time, I was just working and I was getting some life experience and whatnot. And then when it came to the end of my gap year, I still wasn't 100% sure. I hadn't had that big booming moment or anything like that, but I knew that God had given me creativity. I knew that I had a passion for design. I knew that I had a passion for people. I knew that I had been a faithful youth leader and was passionate about serving in youth. And I was like, God, how does all of this stuff work together? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. All of these bits seem like they don't quite fit. And yet I just picked. I was like, God, I'm trusting you. I'm following you. My heart is to please you and to be on the right path and to not go the wrong way. And so, God, I'm just trusting you that what I pick will be in line with what you say. And I chose to do interior design. So I started my degree, and 6 months into my degree, I ended up being the youth pastor here. And so I was pastoring here while I was studying full-time as well. So I think I was like two days at the time here and doing my degree as well. And all of those pieces were fitting together, but I had to step out in faith, trusting that God would lead me as I went. You know, often it's bit by bit. It's little bit by little bit. It's not always a big moment. It's the natural stuff. It's the what are you good at? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are you passionate about? What do you gravitate towards? Those things actually indicate who God has planned you to be and the things that he has purposed for you to do, right? Yeah, I guess the only other thing is that his plan for you is something that will satisfy you and bring you joy. Okay, some things are hard. Some things are going to be hard work, but they will be things that satisfy you and bring you joy. In Psalms 37 verse 4, it says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that if you love him, he gives you whatever you want, but it means that as you love him, he gives you desires. He put things in your heart to be passionate about and he will unfold them in his time.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I love that about just, just working with what is put in your hand, you know, and not waiting for the heavens to open and, you know, God himself to come down. And obviously we want to hear from God's voice, but sometimes you just got to look at what he's given you.
You know? Yeah, and he speaks along the way. It's not like you're just choosing.
Right.
But yeah.
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 Amazing.
He speaks as you move.
Yes, yeah. Yes, definitely. Now, I want to talk about, there was one question that we put on the poll that had an interesting answer. Do you feel like God speaks to others but not to you? 75% of you guys said yes. So I want to speak into that for just a couple moments, if you will. I want to remind you that whether you feel it or not, God is always with you. Faith is more than your feelings. Pastor Joel spoke about that the other Sunday when you were speaking with him, babe. Mm. Faith in God, it's got to be based on something more than your feelings. Mm. Let me tell you, some days, some weeks, some months, you're going to feel like God is super close. And other seasons, other days, you're going to feel like he's left you on red or just ditched you altogether. I want to remind you, no matter what you're feeling, whether you're feeling happy, sad, grouchy, glad, whether you're feeling close to God or far away from him, he has never left you. He is always speaking to you. He is always close by you. But the question is, are you listening to his voice? God's always speaking. Are you listening? One of the primary ways, one of the main ways God speaks to us is through his word, is through the Bible. So if you feel like you haven't heard from him in a while, I wonder if that matches up with whether you've read the Bible in a while. I want to encourage you, turn to God's word, turn to the Bible to hear from God. If you're worried about your future, if you got big questions about who you're meant to be, what kind of job you're meant to have, what kind of thing you're meant to study, what country you're meant to live in, who you're meant to marry, any of these big questions about the future, yeah, turn to your mom and dad. Yep. Ask them for advice. Turn to your friends. That's always helpful. But seek God's advice, please. Seek his will for your life. And let me give you two ways that you can hear from God, right? Are you ready? First thing, if you're asking God for direction in life, if you're asking God to reveal his calling for your life, first of all, go to the Bible for direction. Number one, go to the Bible for direction. Psalm 119 says this, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That means his word, the Bible, it's like a light in the darkness. You ever try to walk around, if you're going camping and you forget to bring a torch, you ever try to walk around at night through the tent, the pegs and all that? You're just tripping up on all the ropes and all that. You're bringing up the tent pegs out of the earth. You can't see anything without a light. That's what God's word is. God's word is like a torch in the darkness. If you don't read God's word, then you don't have a torch to walk around through the night. You don't have anything to show you the way. to show you the way to go. So read God's word if you need direction for your life. The second thing, if you need direction for your life, is to pray to God and actually ask that he shows you his will for your life. You can do this. God actually wants his children, you guys, to talk to him. And he wants to reveal these things to you. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Listen to this. Seek his will in all that you do. And he will show you which path to take. So if you're worried, like, God, what do I do? Do I go to this school? Do I go to that school? Do I study this? Do I study that? Seek his will. Pray to him. Say, God, I don't know what to do. Can you please show me what to do? Can you please show me which direction to go down? And I believe that if you pray that, he will give you some sort of indication. Now, here's the thing. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to hear the voice of God say from heaven, Cheryl, Cheryl, don't go down that way. I want you to go down this direction. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to hear God actually. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to actually hear God's voice, right? So how do you know if God gives you the thumbs up or the thumbs down, right? Let's say, for example, you're wanting to, like what Meg was saying, she was trying to decide, you know, do I pursue a career at church or do I go into design, right? She didn't hear an audible voice from God coming down from heaven saying, Meg, go into design. She didn't hear that, right? So how does she know that that's what God wants her to do, right? So we've come up with this system. Actually, Pastor John talks about this a fair bit. It's the traffic light system, all right? So when you pull up at a traffic light, what do you see? You see a red light, you see an amber light, and you see a green light, right? So amber or yellow or whatever you want to go with. I'm calling it amber just because like amber is trending right now. I don't know why. So the red light, stop, right? So I know about this. I know this about Kirsten. Kirsten is thinking about pursuing interior design as well, right? If she prays to God, if Kirsten prays to God, and she goes, God, show me if interior design is what you want me to pursue. If any of these things happen, then it's God giving you a red light. Okay? If the decision to become an interior designer is against God's word, then instant red light. Now, I don't think the scriptures talk about the sinful nature of interior design, so I think you're right. But if Kirsten was like, Lord, should I go cheat on my boyfriend? I'm not saying you have a boyfriend. I don't know. Lord, should I cheat on an exam? Lord, should I get blind drunk this weekend at a party? Then let me tell you right now, God's word says that lying and cheating and drunkenness is sinful. Okay, so straight up, there's your answer. God's saying, nope, red light. Okay. If Kirsten asks, God, should I pursue interior design, and she gets this sense of uh-uh. Now, this one's kind of hard to describe, but it's just an icky feeling. Yes.
Icky about it. Or like a bit unsettled, like a bit...
Something's just not right.
Yeah.
If in your gut it just doesn't feel right, that may be the Holy Spirit, that may be God telling you, yeah, that's not for you. Red light. If all the doors close on you, then that's probably a red light. And what I mean by that is if all the opportunities for that thing closes on you, then that's probably a red light. Like if you don't get into the school that you wanted or all the spots for the interior design class are closed, then that may be a sign that that's not for you. If trusted godly people air concerns about that. So let's say you go to your youth pastor, Kirsten, and she says, oh, I'm not sure about you doing interior design. That's really not a good field for you to go into. Now, she wouldn't say that because that's a good thing. But let's say, for example, you were trying to marry someone. You were going, oh, there's this boy. He's got a J name. Like, he's a perfect guy. And Meg's like, wait a second, J names?
My son has a J name. Let's make it a T name.
It's just a classic red flag thing, right? But let's say you're trying to, let's say Kirsten's trying to marry someone, right? And her youth pastor looks at that relationship and goes, that's a toxic relationship. So if your parents say, we don't approve of him, he's a bad influence on you, then then so if trusted godly people around you are giving you concerns, are a little bit worried, then maybe that's God saying that's a red light. Let's move to amber light, right? So this is when God's saying, if you get an amber light from God, this is God saying, just wait a little bit. Just wait. If there's confusion, if you're really confused, just wait. Mm. Don't make a decision if you're confused. There's no rush. If there's silence from God, if you've prayed to God and you've asked him for a sign to show you the direction for your life and you aren't hearing from him, you haven't heard confirmation either way, just wait. Just wait. It can wait. God's opinion really matters. If there's lack of agreement, so this one, an example for this is Meg and I, right? We're married. I'm not going to make a big life decision without her input on it. If she disagrees, then we're not, like if I want to go move house and she goes, no, I disagree with that. Then if I just make the decision and go ahead, then that's wrong. You know, you shouldn't do that. So I should wait. If there's a disagreement, I should wait on making that decision. If there's pressure to rush, if you feel like someone's pressuring you to make a quick decision, a big decision about your life quickly, let me tell you, nothing good happens quickly. You can wait. You can wait. If there's doubt, if you're worried, just wait. Just wait on it. God will give you, just trust that God will give you a clear answer either way. This is the fun one. Green light, go. If you get this sign, it means God is giving you the thumbs up. If scripture confirms it. So if it's all good in scripture, then go ahead and do it. So if you're wondering, God, should I love my neighbor? Let me tell you, it says that in scripture, you can do it. If the timing lines up, you know, if it's awkward timing, it might not be from God. But if the timing lines up and things are just going to work out, then it might be from God. If there are prophetic words, dreams, or visions that confirm it. So let's say, you know, your youth leader says, you know what, McKenna, I really see just an amazing gift of comedy on your life. I reckon God's calling you to be a comedian. Now that might be totally wrong, right? And it is. So, sorry. I didn't mean that as like shade, but I just mean that you're probably not called to be a comedian. But if someone prophesies something over you and it's confirmed and you go, you know what, that's right, then that might be God saying, go ahead, be a comedian, McKenna. I'm picking on the sisters here. If godly counsel confirms it, so if your parents and your youth pastors, if they go, you know what, McKenna, being a comedian, that sounds like exactly what God's called for you, then maybe that's a green light. If there's inner peace, if McKenna goes, yes, being a comedian, it just fulfills me. If there's inner peace, then that might be a green light. If there's miraculous provision, you know, maybe McKenna's like, oh, I feel called to be a comedian, but like comedy classes are just too expensive. And then Cheryl goes, here's $500. And that's exactly how much it costs for a comedy class. Then that might be a green light, McKenna, that you're meant to be a comic. If there's a sense of deja vu, like I've been here before, like maybe McKenna, she was really funny when she was 5 years old, 5 years of age. And then she kind of just let it die for a little bit. And then Isaac says, he speaks a prophetic word over McKenna, says, you're meant to be a comedian. And McKenna goes, you know what? That's something from my childhood that I let go, like deja vu. Then maybe that's a green light. Here's a little, just little asterisk for you though. Never base a decision on one green light. So just because someone says, hey, McKenna, you're really funny, that doesn't mean that she should be a comedian. She would have to receive multiple green lights, multiple signs from God for her to go, you know what? Comedy is something I should really follow. That's all I got to say on that. I spoke too long on that.
No, it's cool. Cool. Alrighty. Well, as we wrap up, we're about to go into Hub's time in just a second. But I just wanted to encourage you guys that, once again, that God's plan for you is not a tiny target that you have to hit. And if not, you miss out in life. That was another one of the questions. People being afraid of missing out. Like imagine that. I want you to think back to youth camp if you guys were there. You remember the leaders battle on the last day, how there was the big circle and then in the middle of it, there was the little X, right? Now imagine that I've got Kirsten standing on the right side of it and McKenna standing on the left side of it, right? And on the count of three, I tell you guys that you have to jump, not doing any run up, just jump from where you are and try and hit the center, right? Right? It's like there is no chance that they're going to hit the center, right? But there is a chance that they would end up inside that big circle, right? And that's kind of what following Jesus and knowing his plan for you is like. You know, you have to be inside the circle where he is. You don't have to be, you don't have to pinpoint a particular moment and a specific, you know, a specific thing, you know. It's not a target, but it's a zone that's centered around Jesus and following him. And what that means is that some things, yeah, he will guide you along the way. He'll be like, Kirsten, yes, go for that thing. Or Kirsten, maybe that thing's not, that's not the right fit for you right now. There'll be moments of that, but there'll also be moments where he's like, Kirsten, you're following me. You're worshiping me. You're loving me. Why don't you choose this one? You know, why don't you take a shot? You know, and you're still within that zone of where he is. That's the goal. That's the big thing, is desiring to follow him and to please him and to serve him in everything that you do. That's the main goal. That's the main goal. And it's when your heart attitude is like that, that you can trust that he's going to lead you in the specific things that he wants you to do when the time is right, and that he also gives the freedom to choose in other areas as well. It can all fit together. You know how we talked about that zone? It's not that one thing necessarily. You know what? I like, just using my own example, in that zone that I'm in following Jesus, it's not just that he wanted me to be an interior designer, but that was part of his calling for my life. Another part of his calling is to the church and in ministry and in pastoring people. Another part of his calling on my life is being a parent and a mom and a wife. That's another part. And all of that is in that zone. And you know what happens as you live your life? Is that there are seasons, there are ebbs and flows, but all of those things might be in the calling for your life. You know, some of our team right now, I want you to hear tonight that the weight just shifts, okay? In different seasons of your life, the weight just shifts between things. Just because now is the season for this and not for that doesn't mean he hasn't called you to that. You know, sometimes there's a bit of this, sometimes there's a bit of this, sometimes there's a bit of this. And all of that is just the journey of following Jesus and the plan that he has for your life. You're ever changing. You're ever growing. He is so creative and has given you so many different things in your life that he wants to use. It's not one size fits all. It's not a target you have to hit, but it's being within the zone of where he is, right? It's being in that circle with him. I hope that makes sense tonight. I hope you've been encouraged tonight. Why don't we just stand up, and I'm going to pray for us quickly as we go into Hubs time. Why don't you just close your eyes for a second? And can I just ask that anyone who has those doubts or those fears, Or just scared of the future or not sure what God wants you to do, would you just lift your hands right now? Would you just lift your hands? Nobody's looking. Keep your eyes closed, guys. If you want to know what God's plan for you is, if you want to follow him, why don't you just lift your hands now? Lord God, we just thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you have made us in your image, Father God. I thank you that you see and that you love each and every person in this room, Father God. Lord God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for every life here, Father God, that nobody is just a space filler, Lord, but that you have a good plan for each and every person, Father God, that brings them joy and satisfaction, God. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that they would feel encouraged, Lord. I pray that as they go home, Father God, that you would be speaking to them, God, that you would be putting dreams and desires in their hearts, even right now, Father God, even as the discussions happen in Hubs time right now, Father God. I just pray that tonight you would unlock something in people's hearts, Father God. Those who need to hear from you, God, I pray that you would just speak, Lord, that your word would become alive to them, Father God, that you would put the right people around them to speak into their life, God. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, God. Lord, I just pray for peace of mind, Lord, and a steady spirit, Lord, for those who have fear tonight, God. Lord, I just pray that you'd just give them a settledness and an assurance, God, that they can trust you with their future. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Burn Youth Podcast. To stay in the loop, follow us on Instagram @BurnYouth. See you next time.